You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. Within California, Vice President Kamala Harris defeated former President Donald Trump by a landslide, with about 59% of California voters supporting Harris and 38% supporting Trump. However, a closer dive into California's election results reveals a deeper complexity about our political identity. Notably, President-elect Trump increased his vote share in most of the 12 California counties that are majority Latino compared to 2020. Proposition 36, a tough-on-crime measure that increases sentencing for drug and theft crimes, passed in every county and by a giant margin of over 2-1. Additionally, voters appear ready to reject a minimum wage hike and also to oppose an expansion of rent control authority. For a conservative perspective on these results, we're joined by Luis Alvarado, a seasoned political strategist based in Los Angeles and former deputy press secretary for the California Republican Party. Luis Alvarado, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure being here with you.
What message do you think California voters were largely trying to send in this election?
Overall, I think what they're trying to say is that the pendulum has traveled way too far to the left, and they wanted to bring it back to the center.
And so we'll get more into what they were trying to say. I want to get into some of the early Democratic leader messaging. 2 days after the election, Attorney General Rob Bonta held a press conference in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. He said, quote, "In California, we will choose calm over chaos, fact over fiction, belonging over blame, unity over division, us and we over I and me." And Bonta, who may run for governor, went on to say that he will continue to fight for reproductive rights, housing access and general affordability, the eradication of fentanyl, a clean environment, among other things. How do you think this message was received? I'm curious, you know, does this strike the right tone for the party in power in California?
No, and that's the problem. It's because Ron Bonta, along with Governor Gavin Newsom, represent I'll add one more name to that. Here in Los Angeles is District Attorney Gascon. They represent that pendulum that has shifted way to the left and stopped caring for the sentiments, the well-being of Californians. And Californians went to the ballots and an incredibly resounding voice said, "We're not going to allow you to dictate upon us your political views that do not work with us." And Ron Bonta, I'm glad you mentioned him, because he has been in the news saying that the Californians, speaking for Californians, but Californians look at the streets, look at the homeless problem, see that they have been taxed billions of dollars to ensure that this problem is handled. They have seen criminals being treated with more respect than victims, and they have said, "We're not going to allow that anymore." And they see then the national politics, and even though, like you mentioned, most Californians voted for Kamala Harris, at the same time when Gascon gets taken out of office in Los Angeles as district attorney for almost 20 points differential, that is what's happening in California. Eight counties have now seemed to be flipped towards Republicans, where Biden had won those counties in the previous elections. And that is the trend, that Democrats have lost control of the state and now have to contend with the results of the election.
Well, Luis, as you know, Democrats in the Capitol have dedicated billions of dollars, as you mentioned, in investments to these issues that you were just talking about, housing, homelessness, environment. You're a communications expert. How much of this is an issue of communications, of an issue of branding? Of, you know, we have heard from Democrats saying, you know, these investments take a long time. This has taken decades to get into this challenge, and it's going to take, you know, a long time to get out. How much of this is the communication versus the policies themselves?
Well, in politics, like in business, it's all about being able to manage the Darwinistic sentiments of your customer / electorate voters. And if you cannot convince them that there is an investment, that you're making the voters stakeholders in a better future by surrendering certain comforts, then you're not going to be able to get their support when it comes to pushing your policies. You know, voters want to keep their families safe. If you, there's nothing in the environment or in the Democrats' platform that can demonstrate that making criminals more empowered is worth saving the environment. You know, there are creature comforts that come first. Making sure that you can afford to buy milk for your children, to put gas in the tank so you can go to work, that is going to be first and foremost something they're willing to surrender for a greater good of the community. And that, it doesn't matter if you can call it less communication by the Democrats or failure by Democrats to communicate, as opposed to the policies themselves being rejected by the voters. And it's that is what the end results are, and the elections have consequences, and now Democrats have to contend with those consequences.
Let's talk about where you think voters actually are. How great of a share of our statewide population do you think may have major issues with California's one-party Democratic rule, but also refuses to embrace Trump?
Well, because, as I mentioned, is there's national agendas and there's local agendas, and they may not like Donald Trump and a national agenda, or they might find the individual a dysfunctional individual, but that doesn't have to do as much with the price of gasoline and milk and the safety and security at one's home as it does with the local elected officials. And those are the ones that fail to communicate. And that's why, you know, you mentioned Latinos were voting more for Trump than ever before. And to me, I'm happy to hear that, because it is one step closer to breaking up that sentiment of Latinos being monolithic and actually joining the ranks of general population with regards to the issues that are important to us and the Latino community. So they're voting for the things they feel are important for them. And that is what we're seeing in today's election results.
And what are the top issues that Latinos, as far as the data you look at, the people you talk to, what are the top issues they mention as most important to them?
First and foremost is safety. And that's why Prop 36 was successful. And when you hear that Gavin Newsom tried, along with Ron Bonta, tried everything, every trick in the book to try to dissuade the mechanisms for allowing this proposition to go forward, every other Democrat that was on the ballot knew that it was toxic, it was radioactive, and stayed away from Prop 36. And they knew they couldn't do anything to convince voters to believe that Prop 36 was something that worked against the interest of American families. So safety first and foremost, and then the economy being second, ensuring that the investment that we Californians have done in the state to move forward and make California successful for everybody seem to be a disconnect, because people were seeing the prices rise, the inflation being a problem, and Democrats at a national and local level not being able to explain that we were in economic troubles and being able to persuade voters that it was part of a economic program that would benefit us all in the future lost the connectivity between the voters and the vision that Democrat leaders had for the state of California.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Luis Alvarado, a political consultant, the former chairman of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Greater Los Angeles, and the founder of Grow Elect, which promotes Republican Latino candidates. Luis, I'm curious, Californians, no matter what walk of life we're from, we largely know what Trump stands for. We can't get away from seeing what Trump stands for. But do you think that most people know what their state Republican Party stands for?
No, they just, I mean, one of the things, any strategist you talk to, they're going to tell you that most voters vote with their hearts. And when they're angry, everything else goes away. And Democrats had a failure of understanding where that anger stemmed from. There are other issues with regards of who the messenger was. We knew that President Biden was a deficient communicator to begin with. And then when Vice President Kamala Harris, who had been in hiding for her tenure, was suddenly thrust to the front of the cameras, there was very little time for her to connect with the voters. And Donald Trump, as deficient as a human being he is, and Republicans seem to gravitate their message towards the sentiment of the voters. And that is what gave them the great wins in Election Day. Democrats are going to have to figure out how to convince voters that their policies are going to benefit the short, medium, and long-term needs of the voter if they ever want to regain those seats again.
And what does the Republican Party need to do? I mean, what are the policies that Republicans stand for, and what would they do if they were in control of our legislature and maybe our governor's office?
Well, that's pretty clear. It's like the old saying of the, what happens with the dog after it catches the car and bites it into the bumper. Now they have power. Now they're going to have to demonstrate that they were the right people for the right job, and they have an opportunity, an enormous opportunity to demonstrate to the nation, to the state, to the municipalities that they have the capacity to govern and to be responsive to the needs of the electorate. If they can do that, then they're going to hold on to power for a very long time. If
And
they fail,
what about our
if
state party?
they
What about our Republicans that are running for the legislature, that may be eyeing the governor's office? Do we know what their policies are?
I, to this point, have not seen anybody percolate to the top who can demonstrate that they have the capacity to project a message of hope and control over the state at this time. I know in municipal positions and congressional, and even we see Suzette Valladares, Latina, get elected to the California Senate. She is a great illustration of what can happen in California if voters give Republicans more opportunities as we continue in the midterm elections and 2028 elections. If they can prove that they can govern at a national level, that they're going to give Republicans in California an opportunity to demonstrate they can govern at a municipal and state level.
So what you're saying is, in our pockets of California, where we're seeing a kind of emerging conservative trend, it's more of a referendum on Democrats and not necessarily embracing the GOP at the state and local level. Maybe embracing it in some areas at the national level, but not yet here. And what you're saying is that's because of a lack of a vision on behalf of Republican candidates?
Well, I think it's lack of opportunity. I think they had an opportunity in years past and did not do well. Democrats had a better opportunity with resources, message, and individuals to gain control of the state legislation. Now, Republicans may have the opportunity to do the same. Republicans have a great leader in the state, and I know that she is going to utilize this momentum to try to get other Republicans elected. The question will be, will they be able to govern at a national level efficiently enough to continue to keep that door open in California? That's the greatest question that we're going to be seeing. And will Democrats have an opportunity to rebound and reconnect with the electorate? That's going to be the question in California. Because right now, even though California still is under Democrat control, and we hear the governor saying he's going to Trump-proof California, the question will be, well, what does that look like? And what does it mean to the average voter in their daily life experiences to feel that they are represented at a national level and at a state level.
Well, there still is a lot of anti-Trump fervor in California. I'm curious if you think if our state GOP could possibly win back more legislative seats, maybe even the governor's office, if it stood for more of those traditional Republican values but became a Republican party that is anti-Trump. Or is that ever even possible?
Well, there's still many of us conservatives who don't find Donald Trump to be a good person or an effective leader, but feel that the problem is that Democrats have been even more deficient than what we hear from Donald Trump, and that's why he won. The question will be, will there be repercussions if Donald Trump actually, if his policies, once he is sworn in, begin hurting Californians and people who voted for him? Because you have to remember, there's almost as many no party preference voters in California as there are Republicans. Republicans are in the greater minority. And even that being said, there were greater gains by Republicans, which means that you have many no party preference voters and maybe some conservative Democrats who voted for a change and are willing to gamble in seeing what happens if Republicans are given the opportunity to lead.
And do you think that on the state level that the GOP, the state GOP, would ever take that gamble and disavow Trump? You've worked for the Republican Party of California. Is that a remote possibility? Or are they too tied at the hip of the national GOP to ever go in that direction?
Well, what we saw was many Republican candidates walk that very tight rope. Either you embraced him or you ignored him. And it worked for certain Republicans and it didn't work for others. And it goes more with the dynamics of certain districts more than other. You know, the message for Democrats in farming communities is much different than Democrats in an urban Santa Monica community, for example. It is completely, if you put two Democrats from each of those districts in the room, you're going to find that their vision for what they expect of the leaders is completely different. And the same thing goes for Republicans. And that's the tightrope you have to run to represent specific districts in California. At this time, we're seeing a slight shift towards Republicans. The question is, will Republicans be able to sustain it and be able to grow upon it? And that depends on the leadership of the party and also the leadership of the Democrats.
Luis, before I let you go, I was checking out your recent tweeting, and I noticed you'd done some retweets calling out the Democrats' use of inclusive language as problematic, stating that this election laid bare that political correctness can effectively be more alienating than inclusive. And I want to touch on the term that you actually mentioned in one of your retweets, Latinx. The majority of people I know simply want to be good players and call groups of people whatever they want to be called. What does the data say, and what are the conversations you've had about how most Latinos feel about that term, Latinx?
Well, the inclusiveness comes with, first of all, when somebody puts a label on you and they didn't ask about how you feel about getting that label slapped on you, was a complete surprise to many Democrats, where they wanted to, extreme progressives wanted to drag Latinos into their view of what is correctness without checking with us. And by doing the slapping of that label of Latinx was a last straw for many Latinos who are registered Democrats in rejecting the policies of that progressive pendulum that was shifting way to the left. And that is what gives them pause. One of the reasons you saw a lot of these shifting to Republicans wasn't because Democrats all of a sudden started voting Republican, was because mostly there was a lack of effervescence in Democrats. Democrats who usually vote for Democrats stayed at home, sat on their hands. Same thing goes for no party preference voters who usually vote for Democrats, prefer to stay out of the ballot box. And you saw Republicans that were incredibly motivated to vote for Republican causes, for Republican candidates, and propositions that seem to be incredibly progressive and invasive into their livelihoods.
Luis, that's all the time we have today. Thank you very much for your perspective.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a pleasure being with you, and hope to talk to you soon.
Me too. Luis Alvarado is an experienced conservative political strategist and a former deputy press secretary for the California Republican Party. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.